All right, Psalm 38 is where we're at tonight. Psalm 38. The title under the psalm number here is A Song to Bring to Remembrance. And it's part of David's confession. It looks like it was tied with his adultery with Bathsheba. I know Psalm 51 is definitely about that. This one looks like it may also be with that as well. Psalm 38. I'm going to give you four things in here that David brings to remembrance in this confession. And this is really what a real confession looks like. You could break it down into four parts here. We'll do verses 1-3, and I'll just read them to you, and we'll go through these as we go through the psalm. We'll deal with what the content is. But Psalm 38, verse 1, it says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Verse 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Let's pray and give you four things about things to bring to remembrance in a confession here, and that's what David's doing, but let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here tonight. I thank you for your words again, Lord. Just what a blessing to have them. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for justification and redemption. And Lord, for the Holy Spirit being placed inside of believers and direction and guidance and leadership. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. We need help. I need help. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would get out of this psalm what we need to get. And in reading David's confession and really a song that he wrote as a confession, and Father, I pray that you would speak to us and meet the needs of the folks here, Lord, and meet our needs the way we need to be met. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is, like I said, it looks like, I don't know for sure, but it looks like it could be the episode in David's life where he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Whether it is or isn't, it's definitely a confession of sin. And the title, like I said, is your Bible may have it, it's under the psalm. It's a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. And he's bringing to remembrance four things in this psalm that really, if you're going to consider your sin in light of God, there are four things really to consider. And David mentions each of them in here. And so, like I said, we'll go through and break it down. And as we break down these verses, deal with them as we go through the psalm. We won't read the whole thing right now. But in verses 1-3, that we just read, David asked for mercy, and he's asking God to remember mercy. And when you read these verses, it's pretty clear David understands that if God, have you ever responded in such anger as to, you want to destroy something, you are so mad at it, and there is maybe it's an object or something, but maybe with kids or something that just make you so mad that you want to destroy them. Maybe you do, I don't know. but they just so much anger and all the idea of I want to chasten so my kids can learn something out of this has gone out the window, and you're just irate, mad. And in that anger, that's David is asking the Lord, Lord, please don't chasten me in that kind of anger. You will destroy my life if you do that, and there is nothing I can do about it. And if you rebuke me in your wrath, my life will be over. You will completely wipe me out. I mean, there's not even an appeal based on David's goodness or anything. It's solely based on, Lord, if you do this, there I have no chance of existing anymore. I have no chance of being productive. I have no chance at all if in your wrath you come down on me. He says, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. So David's asking, the first thing is for the Lord to remember mercy. Remember mercy. And there's nothing like someone who's done wrong coming back to you, or you coming to someone you've done wrong to with a contrite heart and just asking mercy, just begging mercy. I mean, there's if you got any heart at all, there's something that ministers and touches the heart that says, man, I got to rethink this anger. I've gone out of control with this. And so David is asking the Lord to remember mercy. He said over there in verse 3, he said, there's no soundness in my flesh. You know, if you do this, you will destroy me if you rebuke me in your rage. And that phrase in verse 3, no soundness in my flesh, that is true in sin. That is true whether you're, that's true anytime. There is no soundness in the flesh, ever. So David asks for number one. He asks the Lord in verses 1 through 3. He begs the Lord to remember mercy. And he mentions at the end of verse 3, he understands why he's in the position he's in. Because he says, I have no rest in my bones, not because you're mean, God, not because you hate me, but because of my sin, I did this. I brought this on me. And he understands that. That's a confession. That leads us to the second remembrance. Number one, he asks the Lord to please remember mercy. Please remember mercy. And if it weren't for, I remember Jeremiah wrote it in Lamentations, he said, if not for the mercies of the Lord, I think it's in Lamentations, not for the mercies of the Lord, we would all be destroyed. Something like that. Like, if God didn't have mercy, there wouldn't be anything left. And so that's the appeal. Number one, remember mercy. Number two, David understands that he is in the circumstances he's in as a direct result of his sin. Now, this is the thought here. In a confession like this, David is remembering his circumstances in light of his sin. This is why this is necessary. Because sin never ends up the way it starts out. Remember, you know, sin starts out as pleasure. It starts out as maybe opportunity. It looks like opportunity. It starts out good, right? I mean, sin starts out good, or it looks good. It starts out looking good, but it doesn't ever end that way. So, more often than not, we forget how in the world we got into the circumstances we just got ourselves into. Because it looked good at the time, and we partook and we did something without considering the Lord's direction or the Holy Spirit's direction, and we got into this thing, and now we have these consequences to sin, but we don't think about them being consequences to sin. We just think about them being bad circumstances. And we forget, you know, I made some choices. And that's what David said. This is, look in verse 4. He says, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head, as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." I mean, the cost of sin is more than I can pay. I can't afford this. It is too much of a burden, and I've brought this stuff on my own head. Verse 5, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." How many times do you say that? There has been a physical condition. There has been a circumstantial change for the worse in my life as a direct result of me choosing to sin. Verse 6, "I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." That's where you get the idea. This may have something to do with he and Bathsheba. His loins are filled with a loathsome disease. I don't know if he got an STD from this or what, but that's what you're reading. This is a direct consequence of his choice. Verse 8, "I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me." You know what David's doing? He is remembering his circumstances in light of his sin. He's not blaming God for his circumstances. He's not trying to find a doctor to help fix his circumstances. He remembers he made some choices that have now led him to these circumstances. So remembering circumstances in light of sin, that's something else to consider, and how seldom anyone ever considers their circumstances in light of the decisions they make in light of sin. It is, like I said, sin starts off a certain way, and before you know it, you get into it, and then you find yourself in a mess in it, and now we're trying to solve, put band-aids on the curse that we brought upon ourselves, and forgetting, I made a choice. This is something I brought on me. So David is remembering his circumstances in light of his sin. He said in verse 4, the burden of sin, it's more than he can bear. The cost is greater than he can pay. Verses 5 and 7, it took a physical toll on David's body as a direct result of sin. Verses 6 and 8 through 10, his sadness, his confusion, his depression are also a direct result of his sin. All of those things. And so I'm not saying it's always that way, but I am saying we seldom think of ourselves as sinners. We seldom think of our decisions in light of our circumstances. It's always, well, I got this problem. Let me hurry up and fix this problem. Let me hurry up and throw a band-aid on it. Let me hurry up and get to the doctor and get this thing fixed. And we seldom remember our circumstances in light of our decisions to sin. I mean, we forget disobedience when trouble enters. You forget that you made some decisions that have put you where you are. David here, the second thing is, in confession, David remembers his circumstances in light of the choices he's already made, particularly the sin he's partaken of. So number 2, it's remember circumstances in light of my sin. It's incredible how the things that we remember versus the things we forget. We can be good at remembering grudges. We can be good at remembering how people do us wrong. We can be good at remembering how bad people were to us, but how seldom do we ever remember how wrong we were to God When he reached out and he tried to lead us and direct us, and we said, no, I'm not interested in that. And then we found ourselves in a mess, and then we just said, well, you know, I'll do this to fix this, or, you know, pray for me, I'm in a mess here, or whatever. We're good at remembering things that really don't help us and forgetting the things that would actually help us. For instance, we're good at remembering bitterness and holding on to things that aren't going to make us any better, and forgetting these decisions we've made in light of the Holy Ghost trying to lead us. And now, you know, we are in the position we're in because as a direct result of the decisions we've made. So David's remembering circumstances in light of his sin. He's remembering even to the point of his own physical condition, his mental condition, his sleeplessness. All of these things are a result of the sin that he knows. He knows he's been a part of and he's partook of, and now it has its consequences. I sometimes don't think we understand or we accept that sin actually has consequences. We hear the Holy Spirit trying to lead us, and I'll disobey that. I'll put this in my eyes. I'll put this in my ears. I'll listen to this. I'll watch this. And then we can't figure out why I'm putting so much garbage into my mind, why my mind doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. Or why can't I sleep? Or why can't I have joy in my life? And we just forget that, you know, the Holy Spirit's been trying to say, put some good stuff in there, listen, be obedient. But all that stuff is out the window, and we don't really believe that sin actually has any consequences. David, this is the confession of David. He remembers his circumstances in light of his sin. Number three, he remembers others in light of his sin. Verse 11, my lovers, my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. And I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth. They magnify themselves against me. So two groups of people that he's thinking about. He remembers others in light of his sin. Number one, he remembers his friends, his close acquaintances. And he remembers now that the sin that he has brought into his life has now alienated him from his closest friends. Now his closest friends don't want to be around him. They're not like he says, they stand aloof. They just watch. They don't want to be near me. So he remembers his friends and how his sin has affected him socially. And the second thing is he remembers his enemies. Look in verse 14. He says, thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. Meaning, because I've chosen to sin this way, I don't have anything I can say to other people now. I don't have any direction to give them because I'm just a hypocrite telling them to do something that I'm not willing to do. He says, I'm just like a dumb man. I don't have any reproofs in me. Why? Because of the decisions I've made to sin. And so now I can't direct, I can't guide, I can't help because I've chosen this sin. And now if I tell people to not do this, it's the, you know, do as I say, not as I do. that doesn't work. Do as I say. Don't watch how I act. Just do what I say. David says, I'm like someone without reproof. I don't have anything to say. I have brought this on myself. my friends don't want to be around me because of my sin. The people who have entrusted are entrusted to my leadership. I can't help them any. And then these enemies, now verse 16, the enemies blaspheme God because of him. He said, "For I said in verse 16, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me." Remembering others in light of his sin, he remembers his enemies here. And so the enemies were just waiting for him to fall, just waiting for him to fail. I mean, that's what the world is watching. If you claim to be a Christian, that's what the world is watching. They may try to understand. I mean, I don't know how many do these days, but they're looking for an excuse to say your God is not what you think he is. You claim this God, but you don't even obey this God. And so here's David. He said they're waiting for an opportunity to magnify themselves against me, and now that I've given them an opportunity, I handed it to them. I got involved in sin, and now they're gonna discredit God. They're gonna discredit my life. They're gonna discredit me. And the answer is, yeah, that's what's gonna happen. That's what the Lord said over there when David and Bathsheba and all that stuff back there in 2 Samuel. He said, "Now you've given Israel's enemies an opportunity to speak against the Lord now." Now, we may think, you know, that's okay, whatever, you know, speak against God. Yeah, people do that all the time. We don't accept the consequences of being a mouthpiece for God or being an example for the Lord or being an illustration for the Lord or being a spokesman for the Lord. And when God takes it very seriously when the mouthpiece or the person that claims his name drags his name through the mud so that everybody else who isn't saved says, yeah, your God is a joke. Remember others in light of his sin. That's what he's remembering others. He remembers how it affects his friends. He remembers how it affects his enemies. He remembers how it affects people who are under his care. I mean, David is really, this is a real confession. This is someone who now takes his sin very seriously. And he is very remorseful of it. And then lastly is this. He remembers the Lord in light of his sin. Verse 17 says this, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me." You know, "I'm ready to halt" means I'm done with this sin. I'm done with this. It's over. I want it out of my life. "I'm ready to halt. My sorrow is continually before me." That's all I think about. I can't get it out of my mind. "For I will declare mine iniquity," verse 18. "I will be sorry for my sin." Boy, those, you could just preach on those words. How much sin do we commit, and how much are we actually sorry for? David said, "I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies," verse 19, "are lively, they're strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." So the last thing is in verses 17 through 22, he remembers the Lord in light of his sin. That verses 17, verse 18, dealing with David's repentance. The Bible says this in Proverbs 28, he says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." He says over there in 2 Corinthians, he said, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. But worldly sorrow worldly sorrow, the sorrow of the world worketh death. That's the sorrow of the world, is I wish I hadn't gotten caught in this thing. The sorrow that's godly sorrow says, I have offended a holy God. And I don't want to be on the wrong side of a holy God. He remembers the Lord in light of his sin. And then he brings up this, a couple of interesting things in these last verses. He brings up the fact that some of his enemies bring about judgment that's unjust. Verse 19, mine enemies are lively and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. So David has sinned, but that doesn't mean these adversaries haven't overstepped their bounds in an accusation against him. So he's going to remind the Lord that they hate him wrongfully. They render, he says, evil for good. So some of this judgment is warranted on David, but some of the enemies have overstepped their bounds as well. You bring that to the Lord's attention. And then the last few things here, he asks the Lord not to forsake him. He says, don't forsake me, Lord. Verse 20, they also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. You know, all right, here's a thought here. Some folks don't believe in, and I'm not going to do a whole thing on eternal security right now, but I'll just make this thought out, put this thought out there. They have this idea of God that when a person is at the lowest point in their life, and if any time in their life they needed God, it's at this low point. They have sinned and they know they've sinned. And folks who don't believe in eternal security believe that God, at this point in time, this is the time God abandons his people. Which is ironic, because this is the time where his people need him the most now. They know they've sinned. They don't have any chance of recovering. That there is no obligation on God's part to show mercy. And as far as they're concerned, I mean, if we ever got in that position, there's no obligation on God's part. There's no reason necessarily that God should just, yeah, you're okay. At this low point in your life, where the sin has taken its toll on you, some of the folks will say, well, this is, you know, you're not staying in the will of God, so God abandons you. This is the time you need the Lord the most now. You need help. And now you find out, but you got an attitude like David's here. Here's David, who is begging for mercy. And the Lord is going, he's going to show him mercy. But it is so contradictory of even what the Lord teaches. He talks about rendering good for evil and things like that. This is the goodness of the Lord on display, and this is the saving grace and the saving power of the Lord, where he reaches down to a sinner and he actually saves a sinner. Not because the sinner was worthy, and or he forgives a sinner, or he receives back a sinner, or he takes in a sinner, restores that fellowship, not because the sinner is worthy, but because God is a good God. So here's David, he says, forsake me not, verse 21, O Lord, for he remembers the Lord. Forsake me not, O Lord. And what does the Lord say in Hebrews? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Got prayer answered. He said, oh my God, be not far from me. Be near me, Lord. I don't want to be far from you. I have made myself far from you. I have run from you. I have tried to hide from you. But I don't want to be far from you anymore. Be near me. Come close to me. Please come close to me. And then he says this, come quick, verse 22, make haste to help me. Come quick. That really reminds me of the very last verse in the Bible. He says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He says, come quick. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. You're my salvation, Lord. And if I have any hope of salvation, you are my hope of salvation. And if you won't save me, I don't have any hope of salvation. So David's song of remembrance here, he says a song to bring to remembrance. He brings to remembrance really, I'd say four things. You could probably break it up in a different way, but I'd say four things. He remembers, he asks God to remember mercy in verses 1 through 3. He remembers his own circumstances in light of his sin in verses 4 through 10. He remembers others in light of his sin, verses 11 through 16. And then he remembers the Lord in light of his sin, verses 17 through 22. But this is a great, I don't want to say a model confession, but really it is. This is not that you would pray this and, you know, that's the magic words, but this attitude about sin, this is the right attitude. David has the right attitude. He's got the right perspective on it. And he has really, truly, he has godly sorrow as a result of this sin. Whatever the sin was, I don't know. Looks like it's tied to his adultery with Bathsheba, but it doesn't say that. And that would be just based on some of the words there. It looks like it might be. But those four things to bring to remembrance, I guess the thought tonight, the one thought tonight as I read through this psalm, I think, man, if I had the same attitude about sin that David had, I would stay away from so much more sin. Would not get in trouble with sin. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near sin. But man, we have just cuddled up to sin and just, we don't think anything of it. And then we don't think of the ramifications of it, of our circumstances, of others, how it affects others, how it affects a relationship with the Lord. We just don't believe sin has consequences. Or we don't believe we're actually sinning when we're sinning. So this is, like I said, a song to bring to remembrance these things. And it is really a confession of David that he put to music. And it's a great, I guess, a model confession, if you want to put it that way. So.